following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
All right. Well, good morning again, folks. And welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the joy and the privilege of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. And we're continuing this morning with our series on Lent, because we're in the season of Lent. I pulled the purple checked shirt back out, figured there had been enough time, and it was probably washed in between the last time I wore it and now. Because purple is a color of Lent. But this is our fifth Sunday in Lent. And it was really great. Kristen picked out, right? Kristen planned this service, correct? Yes. Kristen picked out a wonderful reading earlier that Leslie read for us from Psalm 51. And it was a way for me to kind of remember this whole season of Lent. For us to remember even back to just last week when we talked about the need for repentance, for the forgiveness we are offered through Jesus Christ, and then the abundant life that comes as a result of that forgiveness. Psalm 51 talks about the need for repentance, asking God for the forgiveness of sins. And that's a huge part of this whole season of Lent. We remember and we recognize and we see the need to ask the Lord for forgiveness for all of the ways that we have sinned, for the things that we have done and for the things that we have left undone. And we also recognize and remember in this Lenten season that it is God alone, through Jesus Christ alone, who can forgive our sins. And Psalm 51 also reminds us then of the joy that comes through repentance, cleansing, and forgiveness. It's a great psalm to remind us of who we are, of who God is, and how much we need God, and what abundant life will come when we recognize that need. And so that leads us quite well, appropriately, into our sermon texts for today. And again, this week we have three texts. We'll be reading from Psalm 126, Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21, and Philippians 3, verse 4b to 14. I'm trying to make this as tricky on you as possible. So Psalm 126 is where we'll start. And if you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand. One of our ushers would be happy to give you one, either for today or to keep. At Emmanuel, we want everyone to have access to and to have the Word of God. But as we prepare, let me pray for us and we can read the Word of God together. Heavenly Father, let the seed of your word find good soil in our hearts, that it may bear fruit in our lives. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them." Our second reading is from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 16 to 21. This is what the Lord says: "He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland.
The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. And our last reading is Philippians 3, verse 4b to 14. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That first reading from Psalm 126 does a great job of setting the stage and reminding us all of what God is capable of, all that God has done and all that God will do. We read in Psalm 126 about the joy that comes from recognizing that dwelling in all that God provides. In the final couple of lines from Psalm 126, we read words of newness, of sowing and reaping, sowing with tears, but then reaping joy, carrying songs of joy, sheaves of joy even. And it is this newness, this idea of newness that I want us to focus on this morning. The newness that comes from God and through Jesus Christ. The Isaiah passage gives us an even bigger picture of this theme. And in fact, it includes the words that stood out to me when I first read through all of these texts months ago. That, like, you ever have words that just sort of jump off the page at you? I read the words, "See, I am doing a new thing." God says, "See, I am doing a new thing." And before we get to that promise and that declaration, we hear what are, to me, some kind of interesting words. It almost doesn't fit. The section opens with a reminder, again, of who God is, of all that God had done for the Israelites. The reference here specifically is the way that God led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And we see reference to a path through the mighty waters of the Red Sea. So this is the God that Isaiah is referencing. This is the God who is sharing words with Isaiah for Isaiah to share with the Israelites. These are the words, this is the God that Isaiah is sharing with the people. The one who did all of this for him. This is who is speaking here. And Isaiah then goes on to share the words from the Lord. And he says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." It's kind of puzzling. Because to set up exactly who God was, Isaiah spent a bunch of time dwelling on the past. He shared the past of what God had done. So it feels a bit out of place, and a little bit catches me off guard. But here are the words, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. And then he adds to it, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? See, I am doing a new thing. So all that Isaiah pointed to in the past is nothing compared to what God is doing now. Don't dwell on that. Don't dwell on the past. Here and now, I am doing something new. And you're going to be even more amazed with all that is to come. God is planning great new things for the Israelites that Isaiah is speaking to. God is planning to provide for them in the way he provides for the owls and the jackals, with water in the wilderness, with streams in the wasteland. God is going to provide a new thing that is sustaining, that is thirst-quenching, that is enriching, that is life-giving. That here is God's promise. I was at a lecture, which I know sounds like a lot of fun. Who goes to lectures once they're out of university or seminary? I do. It was out at Regent College. It was actually two lectures. And I heard a man who is actually he's a psychiatrist, and he has a whole bunch of other things that he studies, and he wrote a book, and he's spent 20 years writing this book. I haven't read it yet because I just got it Thursday, and I don't read anywhere near that fast. But his work was about the brain's two hemispheres. So about how the two hemispheres of the brain relate to one another, and how we experience the world because of the makeup of our brains. And he asked in the second lecture that I was there for, the third of a series of three lectures, he asked questions about God and about creation. And the most profound thing that I took out of that day was that one of the ways that we know God is that we are always becoming new. Over and over and over, we are becoming new. Physically, the cells in our bodies are dying and being replaced almost constantly. There's, on the internet and various places, going around something that says that every cell in our body is replaced every 7 years or something like that, which is, I think, it's close to that, but some of the cells in our body don't, that doesn't actually happen to, so it's not 100% correct. But a lot of the cells in our bodies are replaced, and so physically, like in that way, physically, the cells in our body are made new over and over and over. And we know that in Christ, we are being made new all the time. And so the huge kind of philosophic phrase that the speaker threw at us was that becoming is even more fundamental than being. We are always in the act of being made new. That is fundamental to who we are as children of God. Physically, biologically, we are always becoming. We are always being made new. God is always doing something new in us physically. And spiritually as well, God is always working in us and through us. We are always becoming more and more the person, the people, that God has created us to be. And in some ways, that's how I see Paul talking about the Jewish law in our reading from Philippians 3. Paul is talking about the constant becoming, becoming something new that God is calling him into, that God is calling us into. Paul writes quite clearly about his own past and his own qualifications for fleshly holiness. If anyone could be confident in who they are based on their personal history, well, Paul says it would be him. And who are we to argue? But Paul knew better. Paul knew that people's Christian identity was not wrapped up in acceptance of Jewish law. It's about the things that are happening inside of us, about the ways that Jesus is working in and through us, and our desire and our willingness to follow our Lord and Savior. Paul knew that Christ was calling him to far more. Paul knew that Christ was calling him to something new, was making known to him that God was doing something new in him. And Paul quite bravely gives up on this life where he and many others considered him to be living the right kind of life. He was adhering to the right rules. He knew the law as well as anyone. He could be considered by any fleshly measure to have arrived. But he realized that dwelling in the past was not, in fact, what God was looking for. God wasn't looking for someone who had arrived. God was continually calling Paul into something new. God was wanting Paul to be open to being made new over and over again. And Paul recognizes that it is the new that he now has to pay attention to. It is the new that Paul has encouraged the Philippians in. It is the new of every day, the constant movement towards Christ that Paul sees as his call and our call as followers of Christ. This is a section of Philippians that I read and I usually am kind of nodding my head at. Like, yeah, Paul, I'm right there with you. I know that it's not all about the law and being a Pharisee and having confidence in the flesh. I know that. You're right. Right on. Way to go, Paul. Of course, nothing is as important as knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And no, I'm definitely not there yet either. I know I have a long way to go too, but knowing I have a long way to go is part of the challenge, isn't it? So I've moved a little bit closer, right? Right, Paul? Just kind of nodding along and like excited about what Paul is saying, thinking that I know what he's saying. And then I remember back to sitting in the arena at the University of Tennessee for Chick 2000. Yep, 2000. It was a long time ago. There was a speaker who shared an incredible story of a life changed. A person who had been living far away from God, and then who had an incredible moment of conversion and is now living and preaching and sharing the love of Christ with whoever he encounters. I remember sitting in that arena thinking to myself, why did they pick this person to come and speak to us? We're a bunch of Christian kids. Most of us have known Jesus for quite some time. Some of us longer than this person who spoke to us. Why would they have someone like this come and speak to us? You see, in that moment, and plenty of times since, I forgot what Paul had said about not dwelling on those fleshly confidences. In that moment, and certainly plenty of times since, I forgot the promise that God makes in Isaiah 43. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's easy to fall back on those things from the past that we think we can find confidence in. It's a lot scarier to be constantly looking for that new thing that springs up, that new thing that God is doing. This week, today-ish, I guess it's rainy, so that feels spring-ish, but it's felt kind of spring-ish. The kids are beginning spring break. We're preparing for next week, Palm Sunday, and then Good Friday, and then Easter after that. I invite you in this week to think about and watch for where it is you see God doing a new thing. I was quite pleased Wednesday night. We had a chance as a welcoming committee to meet with a woman named Lois, who's the chair of the Grace Point Church Committee that has welcomed newcomers into our area. So she told us some stories. She gave us a picture of what it's been like since their family arrived. She gave some tips and some cautions for us to be aware of. But the thing that stuck out to me most was that two words came to mind every time she thought about what they were doing for these newcomers. That they were being given hope and a future. Those beautiful words from Jeremiah 29:11. Hope and a future. And every time now since I've heard those, I've also heard Matt Lundgren playing it on his saxophone, the Jeremiah 29:11 song. That was, I think, one of our Chick songs, so that's why I have it in my head. It's a beautiful verse. that talks about God providing a hope and a future. I would say that they are looking for and seeing that indeed God is doing a new thing. And I believe that we as a church are doing a good job of trying all the time to see where it is God is doing a new thing. New thing in us and a new thing through us. I would love it if you would tell me today or this week via email or phone call or some other means where it is that you see God doing a new thing. Whether it's a new thing in you, a new thing in someone around you, a new thing in church, a new thing in our community, where it is that you see God doing a new thing. The God we worship constantly promises to do new things that mean that our past is not something to dwell on. Hear and know and feel the promise of God when he says, "See, I am doing a new thing." Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters the desert. Help us to recognize your hand working miracles beyond our imagining. Open our hearts to be transformed by the new thing that you are doing, so that our lives may proclaim your love for all. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.